Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pop Therapy.
It's going to be wild, folks. We've got some Kanye drama.
You know when it's Kanye drama. It doesn't make any sense. It's totally convoluted. It's crazy. And yeah. I was trying to follow it. So you were sending me all of these. I don't know if you were sending me Instagram stories or posts that he put up, but you were sending them and like, before I even got a chance to look at them, they had been deleted. So I have no idea. The when I eventually went to his profile, all I saw was his like Black Hats Matter. And I don't even know who he was talking about. So anyways, take us back and fill us in.
So I knew I had to screenshot as soon as he posted. So I'm looking at my screenshots right now. It first started, I saw the Shade Room post a conversation between Kanye and Kim, and Ray J was the top pinned comment. So I was like, oh my God, what's going on now? So I went to Kanye's profile, and I guess what happened, big picture, was Kanye started getting screwed over by The Gap, because you know he has a Yeezy deal with The Gap,
yeah,
and Adidas. They're basically selling knockoffs of his clothing. Something like that. And he was having a fit. So he's like, everything's going to come out today and the following days. So he started calling out the creative director for Gap and Adidas and then started posting pictures of his convo with Kim. So apparently Kim and Pete have been spotted together again. Aww. And it's rumored that they're back together because Pete was taking the kids out.
Oh.
And so that's why Kanye started talking about Pete having the tattoos on him. So did you see, do you remember seeing any of the?
No, I didn't see text? Any of them. I literally only saw the Black Hats Matter stuff.
So the Black Hats Matter is the some director for Gap that he's just calling out.
Okay.
So, yeah. Basically, Kim texted, was like, can you please stop? And Kanye said, no, we need to talk in person. You don't have say-so of where the kids go to school. Why do you get say-say? Because you half white.
But oh, my God.
It's like, Kanye, you knew she was white when you were chasing after her for decades. You knew she was white when you married her and had kids with her. Why are you saying this now?
And why is it relevant to, like, where, like, their parenting decisions on schooling? Like,
yeah.
Why does race have a component to that?
Right. So I guess she takes them to some school that starts with an S, and Kanye wants to take them to the Donda school, which I don't know where it is.
Wouldn't that be in like Chicago? Like,
well, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So then at one point he texts, how about this? 2 days at your school, 3 days at Donda, or 3 days at your school, 2 days at Donda. And it's like, how is that good for the kids?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. You can't like split someone's curriculum up.
Yeah. So there was another text that was about Kris Jenner. And Kim basically texted him saying, my mom is asking you to stop. This is what she said. I'm 60 something years old. I don't need to have him saying my name. And that was the one where Kanye said, y'all don't have so-so over my black children and where they go to school. They will not do Playboy and sex tapes. Tell your Clinton friends to come get me. I'm here. And Ray J comments, what about my mom, Chris? You telling people false stories about me, making the black man look horrible for your gain, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, Ray J.
Oh my gosh, this guy is so thirsty.
All the responses to Ray J's comments were like, Ray J, it's been 20 years. Get over it.
Like, why are you inserting yourself on drama between Kanye and his, like, mother-in-law? It's nothing to do with you, Ray J.
Yeah. So Kanye – did you know that Kanye made a sex tape?
No. With who?
I recently read this somewhere, like, over the weekend.
He like, made recently?
Two sex tapes. No, in the past.
Oh, with not with Kim, obviously.
No, not with Kim. But anyway, I don't know why the sex tapes and Playboy and all of this bothers him now when it didn't bother him getting with her or any of the other women he's been with.
Yeah.
So I just hate Kanye so much.
So do I. He's such a loser. I'm just looking at this Donda Academy website and it's like there's this white bird that's like flapping around and then the pictures are all like these children in these white long, cult-like looking things.
Cult-like, for sure.
I don't know. To be a reflection of God's glory in the world. Okay, so it's very religious.
At one point, Kanye posted, Tristan, Trav, Scott. And the caption was, calling my fellow cum donors, we in this together.
Oh my gosh. You can't say things like that. Like,
your kids are going to read it at some point.
100%. Like, you're insulting every single, like, their mom, their grandma, their, like, spouses, their entire family. Like, what are you doing? Like, why do you think this is going to win Kim back?
And anyone who thinks that Kim is breaking up the family or is just not having a heart to take Kanye back after seeing all this, I just don't understand your thought process.
No.
Not that I ever did before.
But, like, even on these posts that he's posting, like, he gets so many comments and, like, so many likes. It's wild. Like, he does have a fandom behind him. Maybe they're just, like, living for the drama, but it's, like, this is so toxic.
Actually, I think the worst one was Kanye posting, ask Pete how those tattoos of my kids doing in the trauma unit.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Now he's, like, making fun of mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's just so repulsive.
Oh, Sierra Canyon is the school.
That's the one that Kim goes to? Kim wants them to go to?
Yeah. So Tom Brady actually commented on one of Kanye's posts.
Like, why?
I'm trying to find it right now. I don't know. Like, why he's got his own drama going on right now. I'm pretty sure him and Giselle are going to get divorced.
Really?
Because he wants to come out of retirement, or he is coming out of retirement. I don't know.
She's not out of retirement.
Sure.
She went in retirement for like 2 seconds, then was like, actually, just kidding. I'm back.
Or I don't know. Oh, man. I hate how you have to sign up for subscriptions for these websites.
Yeah, it's too much. But then, did he delete everything? Like, nothing's left up there?
There's some stuff there last time I checked. It has to do with Gap and Adidas. So P. Diddy actually is now posting about his conversation with Kanye, saying, like, Kanye, tell me everything. Adidas has always used hip hop and rappers to build their platform, and I'm going to boycott all of their shit. Oh, please, can you send me something I could post in support of you? I never wear Adidas again for the rest of my life if they don't make you right. And Kanye said, praise God, love you.
Oh my gosh. So then is there actually a real issue here about them ripping him off? Or, like, is this a made-up thing as well? Or does he have, like, a legitimate beef?
No, I think there's legit beef, and I think there's merit behind what Kanye is trying to advocate for. But you can't keep up. You can't piece things together. It's so difficult.
There's so many posts on here, and there's like a bunch of people's faces, like bio faces. What is going on? This is too much. Like, it just delegitimizes him when he has like real points. It's like, make your points articulately and not with all these wild Instagram stories, and then people might actually pay attention to you and listen to you and right their wrongs.
So did you see the Tom Brady thing?
No.
Is actually so stupid. So Kanye posts, the only VC I like, and Cyrus. And Tom Brady goes, Andreessen Horowitz, I don't know how to say his name, 100, 100, 100. Kanye takes a screenshot of Tom Brady's comment and makes his caption, Tom Brady in the comments, it's up. He must hate Skeet too. Leave him alone. Hi, North. I'm Skeet. Look at my tattoos. I'm a pawn sent here to antagonize your dad in hopes that he'll do something illegal so we can take him out of your life. Oh, hi, Saint. Look at my tattoo. I tatted your name on my body. I also have a Kid Cudi tattoo, but nobody knows who he is. I was like, he worked at the Bape store selling Daniel Cherry hats to tourists.
What is going on?
Dude, I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
I would just hate to be his kid and grow up and see this in the future.
I would just be so confused. If I was his kid, I'd be like, I don't understand any of this. I'd be having the same reaction. Like, this is too much. It's all over the place. It's not making any sense. I'm like signing off in the comments. Please remove me from this narrative.
Yeah. And apparently Kanye's lawyers had begged him not to say anything more on social media about Gap and Adidas. And Kanye like posted what his lawyers said and was like, I'm not going to keep quiet.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, glad we're not his lawyers.
Honestly.
Okay, we're done with Kanye.
I can't even tell you like what it's all about. It's just there.
So confusing.
Well, in other news, Salt Lake City released its trailer for their season, which comes out September 28th. Did you watch it?
I did watch it. And all I really remember from it was that like Heather had a random black eye and was like implying in the trailer, at least, that like one of the other women did it, which I'm sure it's not that, but like it looked hilarious.
So I actually didn't watch that trailer.
And then there was stuff about obviously the Jen Shaw of it all was mixed up in there. And I can't really remember. It was a while since I watched it.
Did her boobs get bigger?
Well, in the – because they released either the cast photo or something like that, and her boobs literally look like inflated massive balloons. Yeah. She always had big boobs, but I feel like they're just like so much more like structured and way too perfect that they look like so fake in whatever her dress is.
Maybe she's hiding money in there.
Well, she better hide something when she goes to jail.
But I think we're going to see like some of her pre-trial or trial stuff, right?
Yeah.
That was in July.
Yeah, it should be in the show for sure. I just can't remember if it was like featured that much. I remember thinking like, wow, there's not a ton about Jen Shaw in this. But which makes me question like how much they actually show of it all. But I hope they show a lot. I am excited for it. So it starts, new season starts end of September. So September 28th.
I did see that the two newbies really do engage in the drama.
Yeah, they were featured a lot in the preview. But I can't remember who they were having beef with. But yeah, they were definitely in the mix.
And Mary's not on there anymore, right?
No, thank God.
Okay, good.
And then Real Housewives of Potomac also dropped their trailer today.
I did watch that one. So that season's coming out October 9th.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I didn't really see anything that stood out to me other than Ashley buying a house with Michael after filing for divorce.
Yeah, that was very confusing to me. Like the Ashley storyline in even the trailer, I was like, what's going on? Because she starts out almost like joking with Candace about her like dating a hockey player and being like very bashful about it and like announces to the women that they're getting a divorce. And then you see her announce that her and Michael bought a house. And then the next scene, you see her crying to her parents saying that she's going to be responsible for taking care of these two kids' lives. And her father, I think, or father figure at least, saying that a man who doesn't take care of his children is like not a respectful human being or something like that. So yeah. It just seems like a ton of this season is obviously going to be focused on the Ashley and Michael Darby divorce, which honestly I'm not that interested in about because I fucking hate Michael Darby and he's a big loser.
I did see Karen getting heated a few times, once about her mom, I think.
Well, there's allegations. Well, at least the trailer was suggesting that she's cheating on Ray by like going out, meeting people out of town that aren't Ray. That's at least the rumor that Candace is spreading. And then you see Karen in either a discussion with Ray or in an interview being like, I can have my eye candy. So it seems like a storyline is going to be suggesting that she is cheating on Ray, which like also like
interesting.
They're so old. It's like it just seems so weird because she's so old.
Yeah.
Like to be a storyline just seems like ridiculous.
I didn't see much of Mia or Robin.
Well, Mia, do you remember when we were talking about this on the pod even? Remember when she posted that announcement that she was like really, really ill and like alluded to having a really bad illness but never really articulated what it was? And then we never really heard anything else about it.
Yeah.
And so in the trailer, they're talking about – they're like alleging basically that she's making up this illness for like publicity.
No way.
Yeah.
That would be horrible.
I know.
So I had a bully in middle school and high school, and she was like so desperate for attention that when people started to catch on to how she was not the nicest person out there, she faked an illness and said that she was diagnosed with cancer. And so then everyone started feeling sorry for her and hanging out with her and whatever. And no, she was perfectly fine. In fact, has two kids now.
Like, so. Did anyone ever say, like, do you actually, like, did it come out or did it just kind of disappear into the darkness?
No, it came out and people were like, taken aback, but she still remained like the most popular girl until end of high school.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah.
I know. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Kids will do anything for popularity these days.
So I guess that's what Mia's doing.
Yeah. And then there was also, another storyline is that Giselle was saying that she felt really uncomfortable by Candace's husband. And there was a lot of implications that Candace's husband was like hitting on Giselle. And she's like, yeah, the way like, he's a sneaky link. He was implying like, are you down? Because I'm down. Which I could right. just also find not believable.
Right. Because I did see that the tweets were already popping off with the housewives after the trailer. So like Candace tweeted and then her husband, Chris, is it Chris Bassett?
Yeah, Chris, yeah.
He commented being like, I guess they need something else to focus on or whatever.
Yeah. And then we but also saw Candace in the she was like in a vehicle with him and she was talking about how he's always out until like 1 or 2 in the morning at like clubs and stuff like that. He was I don't know. Just all these storylines seem just a little bit too far-fetched for my liking.
Yeah. But what do you think of their looks?
The red dresses? For some reason, I just don't love a red dress.
It looks a bit tacky.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Especially when you see them all together. I'm like, that is just too much.
Mm-hmm. I agree. In my opinion. I thought that the Salt Lake City looks looked really good, apart from Jen's inflated breasts.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Meredith actually stood out for me.
Yeah, she did look better.
Well, I guess we're going to get Salt Lake City and Potomac airing back to back.
And have you been watching the Dubai reunion?
I did watch part one last week. Did you watch?
I did watch. I just was not. I just thought it was boring. I don't know.
It was boring, but I will say that was probably the most catty and drama they had. Or cattiness and drama that they had on the show in that part yeah. one. Yeah. And it was very much like Team Lisa and Chanel against everyone else.
Yeah. But it was just weird too how like they would have these big blow up beefs and then they'd immediately be best friends again, especially yeah. with Brooke. So I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Like,
it was weird.
Pick a position. Like, if you're coming out that hot at somebody and immediately okay within the next second, it makes me think that you actually didn't have any beef to begin with.
That's what I was thinking as well. But I think my favorite line was when someone, either Caroline Brooks or Stansbury, said, do you want a cookie, to Chanel? And she was so quick with it. She was like, yeah, actually, I do want a cookie. My blood pressure is pretty low. It's like, Chanel, you're one of the smartest people out there if you're that quick-witted.
I'm not that impressed by that line.
I was pretty impressed.
I like when they called her a highlighter and she's like, a highlighter? What is highlighter? And then Andy's like, it's a yellow bright marker. She's like, yes, I shine bright like a marker.
Okay. Well, at the end of the day, she got asked to walk on Naomi Campbell's runway. So really? She's winning. Didn't she see the winning. Beginning of the episode?
No.
So Stansbury and Ayan were the only ones there with Andy. And Stansbury obviously doesn't like Ayan. And Andy gets a call from Naomi Campbell. And he was just like, I just want to talk to Chanel. She's my girl. She's my favorite. And then asked her to walk in her show for 2 nights or something like that. And Stansbury's face was just like.
I did see her on the phone, but I missed the first part to find out who it was. Well, good for her.
What do you think of the racist tweets part? And Sarah immediately coming to his rescue.
Honestly, I was like half watching at that point. What were your thoughts?
It just all seemed really weird to me. Like I wasn't buying it. So Sergio, remember, he had some racist tweets resurface. Mm-hmm. And Sarah was like, no, guys, I had my person look into it and use AI, and they tracked the IP address of the tweets to – it didn't connect to his Instagram or his Facebook, so it wasn't the real him. It was someone using his photos to impersonate him and promote clubs. And I was like,
what the hell? Okay. Why is she coming to his defense?
Well, so was Brooks. Caroline Brooks was coming to his defense as well.
Didn't Caroline say something like – you know, you're a public persona. You need to like go back and clean these things up.
When?
I don't know. I heard that on a podcast.
Oh. Well, anyway, I wasn't buying any of it. And I thought it was really weird that they were coming to his rescue.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll see. It's like a background watch for me at this point. I'm like done with Dubai. I'm ready to get on to these other series.
Yeah. I can't believe it's September.
I know.
Like these are happening soon.
In Real Housewives of Beverly Hills news. So this came out almost a week ago now, that Erica actually won a motion to dismiss a lawsuit that was brought by two of her husband's former colleagues at the firm. And they had sued her personally for aiding and abetting a breach of fiduciary duty. And they claimed that she knew that Tom Girardi had been using their cut of like the settlement money to fund her lifestyle. And so there was actually like evidence submitted and everything like that. And their judge actually ruled on the merits that the plaintiffs had failed to prove that Erica Girardi had any actual knowledge of Girardi's alleged crimes, which is interesting. You just
know that we're never going to hear the end of this.
Well, I'm surprised. Honestly, I'm surprised that she was because I don't really follow her, but I would have thought I would have saw it somewhere of her like being like, this is vindication, blah, 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 blah.
No, she posted a bunch of stories with the headline. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
But because like, we're gonna hear about it at the reunion for sure.
Oh, for sure. But the thing is, like, it legitimately is there was evidence submitted. There is an actual finding on the merits that she didn't have any personal knowledge. But then you have to always remember in this case as well that there's still a lawsuit against EJ Global, so her company, and like a company is a different. Separate legal personality from a human. So even though she as a person, like as an individual, is off the hook, her company is still on the hook, at least so far as the lawsuit will continue against them. And it was obviously the company that was getting the money, not her.
Right. So that's what I'm thinking. And also the fact that she might not have as deep pockets as her company if anyone is trying to recover losses.
Right.
So I don't think it's going to go the same way for her company.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's the only suit that there was only one cause of action, this aiding and abetting a breach of fiduciary duty. So it's an interesting like cause of action against her. I wonder, but obviously there's a bunch of other lawsuits out there. It was just interesting that she actually finally did have a win, finding that she didn't have actual knowledge.
It seemed like a very small number, right? It was like 5 million.
Yeah, I think so. It was, yeah, not a lot.
I thought that this was for way more money.
I think there is other lawsuits. Like this is just like the only two plaintiffs in this one are Girardi's former lawyers. This isn't the action that's brought on behalf of the victims.
Mm-hmm. That's why I don't count this as that big of a win.
Yeah. For her. Erica certainly will.
Yeah.
And exactly. So will everyone else that supports her.
Yeah. I mean, we can get to it in our recap, but like the $750,000 earrings that were clearly from the firm, how can you deny that? Mm-hmm. But anyway, we'll hear more about this win at the reunion.
For sure.
So do you remember last week I said Taylor and Shep were looking loved up?
Yeah.
Well, Taylor posted a story today. I don't know if you checked your Insta.
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay, so she flat out denied it and said, Shep and I have broken up. We are not together. And please don't send me any posts of what my ex is doing to move on. Thanks in advance. And I was like, not the thanks in advance. but like, Taylor, how do you plan to get over him if you keep hanging out with him?
Yeah, that's the thing. She was like, I don't need to know what my ex-boyfriend is doing to heal when I'm trying to heal myself. And it's like, well, then why do you keep hanging out with him? Like, I'm sure he was already like hanging out with other women in front of you while you were dating. Like, I'm sure he hasn't changed his approach when he's single.
Well, there's that. And there's the whole, like, your relationship was public. Mm-hmm. There's no way of you escaping finding out what he's up to. You are in the public eye.
Yeah. And even her saying like, we had a cordial breakup. Like, I'm sorry. I still think that she has lingering feelings for him.
Oh, for sure.
I think she's just like been damaged, which like I don't fault her for it. I think she's just been damaged by a toxic relationship. She's been manipulated into falling in love with this piece of shit. And I think she still has lingering feelings. Because if you're really like over somebody who like treated you like shit, you do not want to be around them, hang out with them, be cordial with them. Like maybe after like 5, 6, 7 years, that can be the case, but not immediately after your breakup.
Yeah, absolutely not. Can confirm. I don't know if you saw my wide eyes, like furiously yeah. agreeing with you while you're saying all that. But yeah, you do not want to be around it, especially if you're actually trying to move on.
Totally. I just think it's a bad news bear situation.
Agreed.
And it's not like they're filming right now. So it's not like they like have to be around each other.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was thinking of because, yeah, it was spotted on Des Moines, I think, and not actually like a picture of them being filmed.
Mm, okay. Mm-hmm. What else is happening in Bravo world?
Well, right before we got on this podcast, Charlie from Vanderpump Rules posted a picture of an engagement ring.
Oh, and so she's engaged?
The caption was something like, still can't get over this, but...
He did a thing. He did good. What? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, I just love when people, that's like the post, like he did a thing or a million times yes or he did good.
What is yours gonna be?
I don't think it'll even make it up there by my trajectory.
It's gonna be a picture of us three.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna be in the middle like sobbing.
Okay, wait, I'm at her profile right now and I don't see this picture. Or was it on her Instagram story? Oh, okay.
Her story.
Still not over this. I bet you she was just shopping. Because she tagged Kyle Chan Design. I don't know. I feel like that's
that the cast of Vanderpump Rules is working overtime right now. Which reminds me that I didn't put in the notes all this stuff with Garcelle's son. Have you seen it?
Right. Yes. So I saw that basically. So he posted on his story, like, Pump with, like, a video camera. And then you sent it to me and you're like, I wonder if he's going to be on Vanderpump Rules. So I was like, okay, yeah, that would make sense. Apparently he works for Pump in Las Vegas. Okay. And so then the next day, I think there was pictures of, like, Garcelle and Lisa Vanderpump having lunch together with Oliver.
Yes, it was Garcelle's son.
Yeah, so obviously that's going to be filmed for something. And then it starts coming out like Oliver's, like, I don't know, the woman he has a child with.
Olivia.
Was it Olivia? Okay. So she started posting all these things about Oliver having like cheated on her by making out with Raquel multiple times and like on film allegedly. And then I forget what he posted. He posted a response to it. What did he say?
I don't remember seeing a response.
He posted something like, don't listen to my children's mom or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It was just all over the place. And then, oh no, he posted, yes, we are getting a divorce. Don't listen to what she's saying or something like that.
Right. And she posted a very long caption about how he had been disrespecting her for a while. And especially going on camera, he became super disrespectful towards her. And basically told her that he would have to have something with Raquel for on the camera. Maybe I'm not remembering this correctly.
Yeah, what is going on with Raquel? Like, is she just going to be making out left and right with everybody? Yes, like, Raquel, I feel like she's going to be – I think she's going to be, like, the main person that Vanderpump Rules is, like, the new storylining around. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna
find... far less interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's very painful to listen to her speak.
Yeah, she just speaks so slow and like dragged out, and she's not confident enough in herself.
No, for sure not. Or maybe she has changed since James.
Yeah, I am honestly still excited to watch, though. I think it's going to be a great season. There's just been so much going on with
like,
the really Katie and Tom.
To save themselves.
Yeah, I mean, they've been scrambling ever since Stassi and Kristen and Jax and all them were off the show.
Yeah, but oh, Samantha Saunders is her name. Okay, I found it. So
yeah, and
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
he's like made jokes about her mental health, suicidal thoughts with the coworkers. He's committed adultery with guests and coworkers at the restaurant. He made out with Raquel while filming and plans to continue to go on a date with Raquel while filming. Yeah.
I could see. I just feel like he probably got a lot of fame, so to speak, from being on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like, people know who he is. He's an attractive guy. Like, I feel like this could all be going to his head and he could be doing all these bad behaviors. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not a good look. But, like, so many of, like, Garcelle's sons have been all over the media.
Yeah, I feel bad for Garcelle. Also, when did he have the time to have four kids? Isn't he my age?
I don't know.
I swear he was 28 two seasons ago.
I don't know.
Well,
anyways, in other news, I guess that's it for Bravo news, but in Bachelor news.
Yes.
So I saw the rumblings, but has it been confirmed that Gabby is on Dancing with the Stars?
It hasn't been confirmed, no.
But people have like seen someone who looks like her like in filming or something like that?
Yeah, or someone that's important in production for that show confirmed it to someone. But it made me like go look at Gabby's history. Did you know she was a cheerleader and a dancer?
No, I don't. Because
I must have missed that part on Clayton's season. But yeah. She was a cheerleader for a really long time, like very recently too. She gave it up in 2019.
Really? Like, was she a professional cheerleader?
Yeah.
For, like, football team or something like that? Or really?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember which team and I don't want to fuck it up. So I'm just not going to say.
That's surprising. But I guess it's like really with any of these leads, I don't ever really know what they are. Like, I knew Michelle was a teacher and obviously Pilot Rachel. But other than that, you never really know what their job description is.
Well, Michelle's no longer a teacher, right? What is she doing now?
I think she's just pursuing her – well, I think she said that she moved to LA so that they could do in-person podcasts for, like, Bachelor Happy Hour. So I think she's just trying to ride the Bachelor wave. She also said that she needed a, like, break from teaching because it was just, like, very mentally draining, which makes sense. But, yeah, now she's taking a year off to pursue other endeavors.
Okay. Well, I think she's also trying to get Nate back.
Oh, yeah, because he also moved to LA.
Yeah, she moved like very shortly after him when living in Minnesota was very important to her.
Yeah, she was a Minnesotan.
Minnesota
and Minnesota. No. Amanda Stanton, I don't know if you would have seen her.
No, I don't know originally, who this is.
I think she was originally on Ben Higgins' season.
Okay.
And then she was on Bachelor in Paradise at least, I think, one or two seasons.
Okay.
And she's got the cutest two little girls and she is finally married. I say finally because she's had so many like public relationships from The Bachelor. Okay. Like, she used to date this like really, I think it was Josh Murray, this really like toxic ass ex of Andy Dorfman's. And she's had a lot of other public relationships just in terms of she's an influencer. So her relationships are always out there for the world to see. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she got married and so she's officially off the market. And there was quite a few Bachelor people there, but not from like mainstream Bachelor. Like Lauren Lane and Chris Lane were there at her wedding. And then these other twins from her season were on there. Anyways, congrats to her.
Congrats. I was just thinking, so Bachelor in Paradise is coming out September 27th, and then the 28th is Salt Lake City, and October 9th is Potomac.
We're going to have a full gamut of shows again.
You know what's going to start filming soon, like in a couple weeks?
What?
Bachelor. And we still don't know who it is. But they're saying it might be Justin from Katie's season, even though he's on BIP.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but whatever I saw seemed pretty convincing.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. They usually announce it at the end of the season, but maybe they'll like hold it back if they're still, because I feel like there's no obvious standout, definitely no one from this season, unless I think if Eric doesn't get chosen, he has Bachelor potential.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I still think Gabby's gonna end up with Eric.
I think so too, but I don't know, we'll get there in the Bachelor recap.
Yeah,
so pitch or ditch a bitch. I again, okay. I have not watched any new shows.
Carrying this segment on my back. And let me tell you, I have run out of things to watch. Like, really? I'm actually searching for a show now because your girl finished Made in Chelsea, first of all.
Wow.
All 23 seasons.
23 seasons. Okay, but I saw on Hayu there was a Made in Chelsea Mallorca.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Okay. That's my pitch.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember I told you that Made in Chelsea came back for like a special season?
Yeah.
And it wasn't on Peacock yet.
Pico?
Well, it did come on Peacock and Hey You. So it's just like 5 episodes. And it's this short season of them having a summer in Mallorca, which I don't know where that is.
I have no idea.
Like France. I don't know. Anyway, it was not entertaining. TBH. Oof. Yeah. But I think that's because I've been watching all the old seasons of Made in Chelsea, because I said to you that after I was done with all the seasons, I would go back and watch the most recent.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been doing that. And I've got to say, I'm bored. The early seasons were so good. Top tier drama.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the people on the old cast better too.
I think that's just what happens when a show's been on for way too long. Like, it just like lingers out and peters out and never knows when to end.
Yeah. But I will say, like, when I did start Made in Chelsea from the most recent season, I liked it. But that was before meeting the original cast.
So Made in Mallorca is the people from like the most recent season of Made in Chelsea. It's the same. It's just like a spin-off trip that they went on or something.
Yeah. So basically after season 23 finished, they all took a trip to Mallorca. And they used to do this in the earlier seasons too. Like, they would spend a summer in LA or a summer in New York. I don't know if you ever watched those seasons.
No.
Yeah, so I guess they're getting back to it now that COVID is, I mean, whatever it is right now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was only 5 episodes though, which was kind of a bummer. I guess you don't really know what's been happening, but Mava and James announced that they're engaged and they're having a baby. Reza and... what's her face? Ruby are having their regular problems. Liv and Tristan are getting back together. So, yeah. It's nothing like the first seasons. It's just not.
I was compelled by the first seasons.
Yeah.
So, is it a pitch or ditch?
It's a pitch. I mean, I'm a Made in Chelsea stan, so.
Yeah.
Plus, then you get to stare at Digby and Miles.
So I did end up watching, I binge watched Selling Sunset OC.
No, Selling the OC.
Oh, Selling the OC.
See, I thought that this was just a typo in your text to me, but now I know that you truly thought it was that.
What did I say?
Selling Sunset the OC.
Oh, well, that's what it should be called, because that's what it is. It's Selling Sunset spinoff the OC. Not.
Sunset Boulevard is away from OC.
Oh.
Okay, stupid. Sure. What'd you think?
Okay. So once I kind of got into it, I was like, okay. But then I kind of feel like I finally got into it and then it ended.
Oh.
Like, I do feel like it was had like an upward trajectory. I was like starting to get really interested. I was compelled by the characters and the storylines, and then it just was over. Mm. So, and okay. So the one thing that was like very, very perplexing to me is why these people hate the Alexandras.
I don't know. Jarvis was my favorite.
Like, I just found that they were barely in the show. They were generally unproblematic. Mm-hmm. They maybe came across a little bit like stuck up and standoffish, but I'm like, literally everyone else hates them, and it's like a 7-on-2 situation. So, like,
they weren't the bullies.
I didn't think so.
Alex and I was Hall just like, is where? The bully.
Yeah. And I was listening to a podcast interview that she did, and she did say, she's like, yeah, I wish they would have shown a lot of that background, because it just like didn't really make sense. And when I was saying like, I used to root for you, I was the only person that came to your defense. She's like, when I joined the brokerage, because I was the last one to join, I was had an open mind, even though everyone was telling me these Alexandras were horrible. I like gave them a fair shot. I was like trying to get to know them. And then she found out that they were horrible people, and so she turned on them. But I was like, we didn't see any of that. And like, it just seemed like all these people were mad at these two women for like no reason.
Yeah, because, okay, even if that were true, what Alex is saying, we saw Alexandra. So we saw Rose and Jarvis, the way they interacted with everyone. And they were very like calm, level-headed, focused on their business. So I just wonder what it could have been that they did.
Yeah. I think it's just they just don't like the way they carry themselves. And I think one of either Rose or Jarvis was like, yeah, they're just jealous of us. And so then at the very end of the season, when they sold that like $23 million house, it was like, okay, that could check out.
Yeah. But I liked when Travis was like, let the record show. I was like, oh, yeah, you know exactly what you're doing when you say that.
And they're like, don't lawyer me. Don't use your lawyer speak around me.
Sounds like my mom.
What did you – I also was like kind of shook by the whole like Kayla storyline with Tyler.
Okay. How would you feel if you were Brittany Snow?
I would be embarrassed.
I'd be embarrassed. Yes.
Like, okay, the thing, because at one point he did say, this Tyler guy did say, like, yeah, you know, and some of the stuff that I was doing also crossed the line and probably, like, encouraged you to behave in that way. I was like, ooh, this boy is, like, sketchy. Mm-hmm. And when he was saying, like, he was, I don't know. He's just like, well, you know, we talk and we have a conversations and, like, we have trust and everything. I was like, I'm not feeling that this relationship is going to last that much longer.
Well, you saw how Alex and Polly, who is a nutcase, were with Tyler. Like, yeah, they're sitting in his lap. They're biting his nose. Like, Polly was stripping naked in front of him to go into the water.
Like, if a girl was sitting on my boyfriend's lap, no. Immediately no. What about I don't care if you're friends. Even then, I get a little bit jealous and angry.
Oh, Toonie. Yeah, it's just the hypocrisy was so frustrating to watch.
Yeah, and then when they try to call it out at the end, they're like, you guys are being entirely hypocritical. They're like, you're a bully. You're a bully. Get out of here.
And it's that's hypocritical too.
And then Tyler came in and he's like, you know, I didn't have a problem with you until you're making a problem out of nothing. It's like, dude, you are the fucking problem. Like, letting this behavior continue and like them calling it out and calling it as it is not
such a dud.
Them creating problems.
Yeah. I think I like Jarvis the most, but also I didn't like him to start, but Gio, when he like really stood up for his wife. And talked about how he can't stand Alex Hall's voice and how Alex just loves the sound of her own voice. I was like, this guy gets it.
Yeah. Alex definitely knows or thinks she's the star of the show. But also the one thing that confused me was at the very end, how Kayla was on the boat and she's like, you know, you're the only person I'd take a bullet for. It's like, what?
That's a trauma bond. That's a trauma bond.
It's just, how did this happen and why? And then I thought she was friends with the Alexandras because everyone else was mad at her.
Rose and
all
Jarvis
of a sudden she's saying she'd take a
– defending her honor, and Kayla just flipped a switch on them. Like, all she does is cry, first of all. But second of all, she was just like, this is why you're the only person I trust. Pardon me?
Yeah.
What? Make it make sense.
Didn't make any sense to me. I hope they all come back. Well, at least those, like Kayla, Tyler, the Alexes, Alex Hall – I do actually like think Polly added a lot of drama to the show. Also, full frontal nudity. I was shook by that.
Yeah, same here. But what is her accent? I don't understand.
I don't know. British?
I could. Like, as soon as I thought it was British, it changed to something else.
But I saw that Heather Almusa is now on the selling – or the Offline Group's website for –
Oh, the OC, right? Yeah,
but I just don't
Tarek
think,
likes the OC.
Well, they live there now.
Yeah.
But I just don't – like, if she's joining that cast, I just think it would disrupt everything because in my mind, like, selling Sunset is the older women and, like, selling the OC is, like, the younger up-and-coming generation. And you can't mix the two.
No, you can't. But honestly, Heather's going to give what she always gives on Sunset, and that's nothing. So I don't think it's really going to do much.
Yeah, but I feel like they'll try to like make her have a moment. And it's like she just doesn't fit in. She's older. She's having babies. This cast is like young and full of drama and wanting to get famous. And that's – the two shall not mix.
Yeah, I think Heather's going to be preoccupied with Matt leave anyway.
Yeah, true. Okay, so should we get into our TV recaps?
Yes.
Okay, what do you want to start with?
Bachelorette.
All right. So this week was hometown dates, and we saw at least part of them. So we started with the Gabby and Eric date. Let's just go date by date. Overall,
We started with Gabby and Rachel chatting a lot about how they got screwed over by Clayton. I felt like they got a lot of airtime for that and it wasn't necessary.
I know. I was like, I don't want to see this. I want to see your actual dates. Like, move on. I don't care about you guys rehashing the past and having your little kiki moment.
Right, because Rachel talks about how Clayton screwed them over and said he's in love with all three of them, but she literally did that with all three of the guys.
Well, I only heard her say that she loves one of them.
Well, she was saying, like, I'm falling in love to all three of them. Isn't
Yeah,
that
but
the
I think.
same as love?
No, on in Bachelor speak, that's like an entirely different story. Like, there's the levels of like, I'm falling, I can feel myself falling, I am falling, and then I am in love. There's like three levels of it. And if until you say like, I love you, that is like the crystallization of that is your person. And
Okay,
we'll
fair.
get to it, but she did say that to one of her people on their dates, and I was shook.
But we all knew it was going to be
So
him.
yeah. So the Gabby and Eric date, it was hilarious to me how they said it was their first date without family. I was like, oh my gosh, this is your first like one-on-one date and you're thinking of getting engaged to this person.
I just want to know if you also got the ick
I didn't.
with Eric not jumping off the platform.
But he did.
But he kept like covering it up by saying, "No, I want to go with you." But it was like,
Oh.
"No, bitch, you're just scared." And I got the ick.
That whole thing. I just didn't feel their connection at all. Even when they actually jumped off
Yeah.
separately, I would have thought they would have jumped like holding hands. And maybe if they're terrified, they thought that might like be more dangerous. But I don't know. Like, I find it so difficult to see these women have like real, true, actual connections with these people.
Yeah.
But like, the one thing I did like about this date, so Gabby is opening up about her childhood, about like seeing Eric's family and them being intact versus like how she grew up. And she was just so articulate.
I
And I
was thinking
actually,
the same thing.
it was just wild. Like, she's obviously processed everything. She knows how, where her like wounds are, how they've influenced her. She is just so emotionally intelligent. And then he even responded. I thought he responded really well to that. He like acknowledged her, he validated her. He said he recognized that she was extremely
Emotionally
emotional,
intelligent.
intelligent, and like also a beautiful person. And I was like, wow, okay, this does feel like a genuine back and forth. Like, I do feel like they have a meaningful, real place conversations with each other. And then he said that he's in love with her. But I just really don't think that he's the one that she chooses because I remember very, very early on in the season, they were giving, like, they were portraying him as a fuckboy, basically. Like, they were showing his bad side very early in the beginning. And I think if she was the one, if he was the one that she chose, they would, like, protect him at all costs and not have shown that because it wasn't a big addition to the storyline. But he was giving off, like, fuckboy vibes in the very beginning. Because he couldn't like choose between the two and was saying like some shitty things. So I just don't think ultimately that he's the one she chooses.
See, this is something that I'm still trying to get towards that you can contribute, and I'm just not there yet. Like paying attention to the editing of the show because you've watched it for so long, or like the music that they play, or who's shown when. Like I'm just not in tune with that yet. So when you raise this, it makes me think of everything I've been thinking of differently.
But I could be
So.
totally wrong because I've also like read way too much into these things before and been completely off base. But I don't know. I just don't think it's going to work. And also the fact that they gave him the first date when
That is
he
something I thought about.
and we had seen from the previews that he was the one that was going to have an issue with like her sleeping with other people. And obviously
He did.
he does because later on in the episode, or like right there, I guess at least, he, or no, it was later on, I think, they show him coming back to see her. And he mentions, like, he's obviously very insecure when they go to leave. Okay, let's take a step back for a second. So they have their overnight date. They show us the next morning. They're so much more comfortable with each other, which I believe that they had sex for sure. Like, just the way they were interacting with each other.
Eric and Gabby? Like
it was a different 100%. Level of comfort.
Yes.
And then they were saying their goodbyes, and he just seemed like very, very insecure at the time that they were saying goodbye. He like didn't want to let her go. He wasn't like really vocalizing how he was feeling. And I don't know. I just thought that was a bad sign.
Yeah. I was actually quite shocked to see that he had such a problem with her sleeping with other guys. And I guess like at the end of the episode, we saw them talk about it, but it seems like they spoke about it in the fantasy suite as well.
Yeah. So that was a weird thing too. So he comes back as like a surprise to come visit her. And then he brings it. He's like, this is he's like, this is going to be a good meeting. This is like exciting. This is supposed to be, I just missed you. But he immediately launches into like, just so you know, like if you sleep with other people, basically I'm uncomfortable with that. And Gabby gets like really upset. She's like, I don't understand why you're saying this. Like, we hashed all this out. We discussed this all in the fantasy suite. So you like brought me here to tell me it again. And I was like, okay, so it's not like he's changing his tune. He's just reiterating what he previously said off camera. And then she said that she felt really pressured. And he said like, well, I feel like if you slept with someone else right now, I would feel like I'm being cheated on. And I feel like both of their perspectives in that moment are like, in my mind, valid.
Okay, I was thinking the exact same thing because I was trying to think, how do you meet in the middle here? Because I can totally see where Gabby's coming from, but also where Eric's coming from. The part that did surprise me was the whole cheating aspect, how that was framed that way.
Yeah. I don't know. I get the sentiment behind it. Like, I don't know if cheating is the right word, but I can understand that it's like a sense of not betrayal, but just like uncomfortableness. Because obviously, I think she even says this. She said, like, you walked into the situation and you knew I was dating other people and that this could be a possibility. And then she felt like he was testing her by telling her, I won't feel comfortable if you sleep with other people. And I'm just really confused at that because I'm like, wouldn't you want to know? Like, the whole thing last season that Susie was so upset about, or that everyone was so up in arms about with Susie and Clayton, was that Susie didn't tell Clayton pre-fantasy suites that she didn't want him sleeping with other people. She finds out he slept with other people. She self-evicts. So it's like, okay, now that's a guy in the situation and he's trying to be articulate and open with his feelings and telling her, like, I'm not comfortable with that. And now he's in the wrong too. It's like, I don't understand why it's so wrong to be like, hey, I'm not cool with that. Like, yes, I walked into this situation knowing this was a possibility, but I'm also entitled to be like, actually, I had to sign up for this, but like, I'm not cool with that.
Yeah. So I hear you in the whole, they are entitled to feel that way. But I always come back to the same question, which is like, everyone knows that that's part of Bachelor. Why sign up for it?
Because I just think, yes, it's a possibility, but also everyone makes their own rules and decisions. So it's not like every year the lead has slept with all three people. Like, quite often, I think most often, the lead only has slept with and said, I love you, to the person that they're actually choosing. Like, I know that with like Nick Viall's season, that's what happened. With Ben's season, that's what happened. Like, a lot of the times, until it's kind of gotten really like sex positive the past like 6 or 7 seasons, the lead has only actually been physically intimate with one person, or you don't hear about it and it's just like presumed that that's what happened. So I feel like it's
been, is that what Matt James did?
Well, Matt James only had, didn't he only have Rachel left at the end?
No, I'm pretty sure he's had fantasy suites with all three women.
Who were the rest of his finals?
Bree.
But she left, I thought, before, like, one of them self-evicted at the very end. I thought Rachel was the only one left at the very, very end, but maybe that was post-fantasy suites.
But it was post-fantasy suites, but I remember him spending all three nights with women.
Well, I feel like the fact that you don't hear about it means that there probably wasn't any drama surrounding it. Like the drama comes mm-hmm. up and you hear about it when people sleep with multiple people or like someone mm-hmm. expresses that they have an issue with that. So I just think like, yes, they know that that's a possibility, but because historically it's not like that happens every single year, people make their own decisions that ultimately if you get to the end and you know for certain that it's your, you know who your person is, why are you sleeping with other people?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like how I would actually feel if I was a person on that show and I made it to the end. Like, right, I can sit here and say, oh, I know the premise, like, sure, they can sleep with other people. But knowing me, once I actually got to that point, I'd be like, fuck no, I'm self-evicting.
Yeah, I think you either wouldn't put yourself in that situation or you would be very uncomfortable with if they did. Like you couldn't convince yourself that like you were okay with that.
Yeah, that's it goes back to the first point. I just wouldn't put myself in that situation.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I was still putting myself in the situation and hope that my connection with somebody was just so strong that they knew and they wouldn't do that to me.
Damn. That is some secure attachment style.
But anyways, okay. So we'll see what happens from, because that's where they kind of left off on this episode with them
Gabby
fighting.
And Eric.
Yeah.
So I mean, there was Rachel's dates.
No, I mean like we jumped to the end. Now we'll go back to the start.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Rachel and Avon had their date to start.
I just don't see what is between them.
I don't either.
Do you?
No, but this is the thing. So during this date, for some reason, they keep cutting to like Tino and Jesse having a conversation and Tino saying he's been falling in love for weeks and he's having a tough time and all these things. And it's like, why are we focusing so much on Tino when we're in the middle of Rachel and Avon's date? But with mm-hmm. respect to Rachel and Avon, so Rachel, literally, I think she's just so insecure and she cares so much about what other people think that when Avon's family visit went well, she just like latched on to that and was like, okay, these people like me, so I like him.
Those were my exact thoughts, Laura, because I don't know what else could be possible, because she went from this horrible date with Tino and I think she was hoping that it went swimmingly well with their family because that's who she wanted to be with in her mind, and it didn't go well. So then, yeah, she latched on to the Avon experience. But even the Avon experience, I didn't really understand it going that well.
No. And then when Rachel, she says that she's falling in love with him. I was like, hang on. Like, what are you talking about?
Since when?
Yeah. And then in their aftermath of their fantasy suite, they were kissing so much that I felt like they hadn't had any physical connection beyond that.
Mm.
I don't think she slept with him.
They went to the fantasy suite, no?
Yeah, they did, but people don't necessarily see each other. I just don't think that they had sex. That's my theory.
I do think that Tino and her and Rachel had sex.
Yeah, so the Rachel and Tino date is next. Okay, when I look at Tino, I think he is the 4-10-4 rule. Have you heard of the 4-10-4?
No.
It's like, I heard about a lot in law school. Basically, you can be like a 4 coming into law school. And then because you're in the law school bubble, you become like a 10 because like you're the hottest mm-hmm. of everyone there. But then you leave and you're a 4 again. And I feel like that's what Tino is on this season of The Bachelor. Like in normal life, he's like a 4. Compared to all these pretty much duds, he looks like a 10. But once
that's
he leaves,
so
he's once again a 4.
Oh my God. That's so true.
Yeah.
You've never told me this rule before. We've been talking about the 80-20 rule, and you never thought to mention 4-10-4.
It's just never come up because we haven't been in the situation where we have a 4-10-4
experience. That's basically like guys on Hinge. Like, they're all 4s. Then you see one guy who's like a bit more than a 4. But in the real world, you're like, you're still a 4.
Yeah, it's like so much defined by who you're surrounded by. And when you're in like a bubble like this, like that's what happens. Like you just – he's the most attractive of the duds.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah, so in their date, Tino, basically they're talking about their family date and Rachel's like, yeah, they hated me. Like, what are we going to do with that? And Tino's like, well, I don't know. They're just going to have to come around. And she's like, I'm fine with that answer. Okay.
Yes, which just goes back to Rachel being insecure.
Totally. Like, she just wants everyone to like her, and she's willing to, like, be whoever and do whatever and say whatever and not really have a position on anything as long as, like, they're telling her a bit of what she wants to hear.
I did think that she was being mature and a bit wise when she said to Tino the reason it bothered her that her father was so hard on her was because she didn't want it to affect Tino and how he felt, instead of, I just want to be accepted by everyone in your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But then after all of that, Tino says he's in love with her, and Rachel says, I love you too. She full on dropped the album.
And then they said it a bunch of times again.
Yeah. And, like, honestly, of course, I always thought that he would be the one that she chooses. And I don't think after all of this, after all of the Clayton experience, Rachel should be so dumb to actually say, I love you to two people. So I feel like this is probably the just confirmation that he's the one. But it's interesting to me that they put Zach's date last. Like, I would have thought Tino's would have been last. I just
want to know what is supposed to be happening with Zach, because I'm really not catching anything from the preview. I can't tell who the perpetrator is.
Totally.
Is it Rachel or Zach?
Yeah, because doesn't one of them says that they feel blindsided? I feel like it was Zach said that he feels blindsided. I'm like, what's going on? Like, maybe she goes into that date and immediately breaks up with Zach because she had these two other great dates.
Maybe. I'm trying to remember who actually said the blindsided thing, because I feel like I remember it being both.
Yeah. I don't know, but we'll see it tomorrow, I guess.
Tomorrow.
Or today. Isn't it? Wasn't it on today?
Today.
I don't know. I thought when they said, like, tune in tomorrow. I swear. Maybe I'm wrong.
There's back-to-back episodes this week?
I don't know. Am I wrong? God,
it's like Christmas.
Anyways, we'll have to check. The last date we had was Gabby's date with Johnny, where, like, wasn't really a date at all. Like, they start the date and she's like, so where are you at on an engagement? And he's like, I'm not ready for that. And she's like, okay, we'll see you then.
It was actually just so mature and uncomplicated.
Yeah. But also,
I appreciated that.
I did too, but I also just think the whole concept is ridiculous, because I just feel like with the right person, if you're in this, like, he kept on saying, like, I can't give you what you want, I can't give you what you need. And Gabby's like, yeah, I'm so ready for an engagement. But I'm like, why are you trumping, like, an engagement versus, like, who you're getting engaged to? Like, if he was the right person for her and the right person for you isn't ready to propose, then why are you breaking up with them and choosing someone who you actually like less? Like, with the right person, you just should say, okay, whatever happens, happens. As long as I'm with you, don't need to be proposed to. But in the end, like, with Johnny, obviously they weren't going to get together. So I think it was just, like, almost like an excuse to be used. But if that's truly how she feels, I just don't understand it.
I'm with you on all of those thoughts. But I do think that Gabby is right when she says they're just at different stages in their life. Like, even if they didn't leave engaged and they were dating, I don't know when Johnny would be ready for an engagement or marriage. And I think Gabby's, like, pretty ready for that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was bigger than the show. Like, I'm not ready for an engagement for a while versus, like, I'm not ready for an engagement tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, we knew he wasn't going to last.
No. So either tonight or next week, whenever the next episode is on, we'll see Rachel's date with Zach and Jason's date with Gabby.
I'm excited.
I just kind of feel like Gabby's going to end up with no one, because they're foreshadowing that Jason's date goes bad.
But they're also just continuously showing that one scene, which is Jesse telling Rachel, you are the only bachelorette left. Gabby has left.
Yeah. I think she ends up with no one.
What is that all about?
I think she ends up with no one. I think her and Eric have this big falling out. They realize they're not right for each other. She, like, sends him home because of this whole debacle. And then she ends up with Jason, and they have a whole –
Jason's not ready.
No, Jason's not ready for an engagement, and they have no connection either, and they're, like, total opposite personalities that do not belong together.
Totally.
I just don't think Gabby's going to end up with anybody, and then maybe Eric, through all of this getting dumped at the very end, becomes the bachelor.
Ooh,
and
maybe.
And Gabby goes on to Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, I think you're on to something here.
And Rachel will just, like, marry all three if they'll all have her.
honestly, though. Yeah, I just want to get it over with and see what happens with Zach, because I'm tired of trying to guess.
I know. I agree. I hope we see his uncle again. He was the best part of the show. Okay, next.
Beverly Hills.
Okay. So, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
It was a whole lot of nothing until the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. So what happened? What was the big part of this episode?
Well, it was basically Sutton getting bullied by Erica, Diana, and whoever else.
Right. So they all go, they all arrive in Aspen on their trip. And we know so much goes down in Aspen. and then, yeah, at the very end, they're all having like a chit chat around the fire. And basically they're talking about like Instagram unfollowing, which is just like so trivial and stupid. And then Kathy has like the wisest words of everyone when she says, nobody cares. Don't you take yourself to be that important. I was like, thank you, Kathy. Sutton's talking about why she unfollowed Erica. And she says like, well, because she called me a C-U-N-T at the reunion. And Sutton's like,
fair.
Yeah. And Sutton says, like, I haven't heard anything from anyone about how the fact she called me a C-U-N-T at the reunion. And then Lisa pipes up and she's like, why do we need to?
Like, I found that to be so vile.
Yeah. And it's like, why are you bringing up like people unfollowing each other and think like that's a cause you should come behind versus like someone like saying a very insulting term to someone and you think that that's not worth your time?
Which, by the way, Queens of Bravo showed this week that Rena had unfollowed pretty much everyone and then refollowed them once Queens of Bravo called her out. So I don't know why she's getting pressed about people unfollowing people.
Yeah. And then when they're talking about the C-U-N-T, Diana says under her breath, she said, well, you are one. And then Erica bursts out into the most cackling, vile laughter that I've ever heard. And her and like Diana are like beside themselves thinking it's hilarious what she just said. And then Garcelle's like, what did they say? What'd they say? She hears what she says and she's like, no, that is not okay. Other than that, no one says a single thing.
Which really bothered me.
Same.
It really bothered me. Like, even Crystal. Okay, I know Crystal's in a weird position because Diana's her friend, but it really bothers me how Crystal says nothing until her confessionals.
I agree.
And like everyone comes to her rescue when she's the middle of the topic of conversation, like Garcelle and Sutton.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just not giving the same energy back and I don't appreciate it.
I agree. Like more people should have come to her defense. It shouldn't always be up to Garcelle. And then Diana ultimately says, she's like, yeah, I know my comment wasn't civilized, so I'm sorry, but I just can't stand her. So I try to keep
my physical. And then goes on to say more uncivilized things.
Yeah, she calls her slithery. She says, I question if she even has feelings. And then she's rehashing this whole situation at Garcelle's party again. And she says
–
go ahead.
She says the slithery thing as she licks her fucking lips. For the 100th time.
Oh, true.
God damn. But yeah, she brings up what happens at Garcelle's again. And I really, really don't appreciate or like how no one's calling out people not really believing Sutton's miscarriages or dismissing her miscarriages. Like, how do you not understand that Sutton was trying to relate to you and you just continue or you refuse to see it in any other lens than her making it about herself, which is not what was happening.
No. And even like, maybe I'm in the wrong here too, but when Sutton was like, oh, you're here. Like, I'm surprised that you're here. After Diana had texted and said like she was bleeding profusely, like blah, blah, blah. Even in this episode, she says she came from her deathbed to go to Garcelle's birthday party. And I'm like, this all is not adding up. Like Sutton was, I think, in the right to be like, how can you in the one breath say you're on your absolute deathbed to the next breath showing up with matching fur coats with your boyfriend with like your book to promote and you're going around this party drinking everything. It's like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And everyone is forgetting how Sutton did apologize to Diana.
Totally.
She apologized to Diana alone and in, yeah, exactly. In front of the group.
And Sutton during that entire conversation was just like shutting down. She wasn't saying a word. And then Kyle in her confessional was like, well, some may say she's being mean, but I can respect her being honest. It's like, what?
Okay. Did you see the deleted scene from last week?
No.
Where Kathy – okay. So Kathy was like, you guys – like boggle my mind. All you do is bitch about each other behind one another's backs and then say it to the other person, something along those lines. And Kathy was like, I never do that. Someone tells me something and I never say it. And Kyle pipes up and goes, same here, Kathy, neither do I. And Kathy goes, that's because you and I were raised differently. We were raised from the same family. Like, we just don't do that kind of stuff. And I was like, Kyle, you make your entire living off of doing that.
Yeah,
that is literally your role on this show.
Totally.
Right. So when Kyle says what she does in confessionals, but then in person, like she told Sutton, literally after everyone took an attack on Sutton, they leave and Sutton like puts her shoulders down and starts crying once everyone leaves. And Kyle says to her, you're being dramatic. Pardon me.
Are you kidding me?
Did you not hear that?
No.
When Sutton was crying and Kyle was like, holding her, she was like, okay, Sutton, stop. You're being dramatic. And Sutton was like, I'm not being dramatic.
Yeah, I did hear her say that. I didn't know it was in response to Kyle. I thought she was just like anticipatorily defending herself. Oh my God.
Maybe.
Kyle is so toxic.
She is.
That whole thing, I just felt so bad for Sutton. And you could tell, like, that is exactly probably how I'd react in the situation too. Just be like, you guys can keep yammering around and like keep yammering about this thing. It's like, I've tried a million times to apologize. I'm done. Like, I'm checking myself out. And every time Diana rehashes this whole conversation, she like reframes it in a different way that just farther and farther and farther from reality.
It's just so frustrating.
Yeah.
She plays the victim and then everyone yells at Sutton for playing the victim. It's so much gaslighting taking place.
I agree. And like, yeah, Sutton maybe can articulate herself in the best way, but it's like, then why don't more of you help her out and like help verbalize what you know she's trying to say? Yeah, exactly.
It's always on Garcelle's shoulders, and I wish Crystal would pipe up or someone else.
Yeah, I agree. So the next week is when all the earrings drama comes out and Erica shows her true colors, it looks like.
Oh yeah, she like lashes out at Crystal.
Yeah, she's basically saying like, who cares about the people? I care about the facts. And it's like, okay, well, the facts are that your husband still cheated all these victims about millions of dollars and it's really not about you.
And you knew it was happening.
Agreed. All right.
Well, that takes us to Southern Charm.
Yes. So we start out with Naomi talking to her mom about the trip and her telling her that she stayed an extra night with Whitney. Just like every time this happens, I just keep getting more and more mind blown.
I still can't believe that this is a thing
for
Naomi and not just a storyline.
I know. It's so weird. But it was so funny. So then Patricia and Whitney are having a conversation. And Patricia was being honestly the funniest I've ever seen her. Like her phrases that she kept on saying, she's like, you know, I'm going to kick the bucket and I'm living on borrowed time and like all these phrases.
Yeah.
And then
I'm shocked that you found it funny.
Yeah. I actually hate her, but I thought she was being really hilarious with all her liners. And then Craig pipes in his confessional and just says that he thinks Naomi is lost. And like, I kind of agree, but... She's like, Craig.
No, she is. She is. But I mean, we can get to Craig and Naomi later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we have a little chit chat between Madison and Vanita at their gym chest talking about Madison's wedding. And I was actually surprised that they said they're having a 50-person wedding. And she sounded really genuine when she's like, you know, all that matters is like Hudson and him and me. And that's. They actually seemed really cute and genuine. I think they're like a perfect match.
Yeah, I'm really rooting for them. And I hope that they go the distance.
I wonder if he'll ever be on the show.
I hope not. I hope she protects him from the show.
I agree. Because even she wasn't supposed to be really like part of this season. Like she wasn't on the main cast, but she hasn't been on a ton. But I want more of her.
Yeah, me too. But I like her workout seemed way too intense for me.
Well, she said she works out like 2 times a day, 45 minutes a day at least. It's like, holy, I could not do that.
No.
So then we get to the main event, which is Austin hosts Friendsgiving at his like cousin's or aunt's place, where I guess.
Literally everyone else does the work but him.
Yeah, it's true. Because Craig's,
even his sister.
Yeah. Yeah, his sister was there. Craig was so funny. Like his like turkey disorder, poultry disorders, because Paige called it.
Poultry phobia or something like that.
He refused. She's like, I can touch it because I don't have a poultry disorder like you. Yeah. And he's basically like afraid of touching chicken because he thinks that if you touch chicken, you'll immediately get sick and die.
Yeah. Like, and then he like rushes her to wash her hands with him.
It's so funny. Yeah. The main drama of the evening really is centered around Paige and Naomi.
Yes.
So basically it sounds like Paige thinks that Naomi is being fake nice to her, and she's really, really upset that Naomi pulled Craig aside at a party and said to Craig, like, I won't come around if it makes you uncomfortable. And she was really triggered by that because she thought that insinuated that Craig still had feelings for Naomi. What did you think of that whole conversation?
Well, okay, I can see both sides because Craig is misconstruing a lot of what is happening between him and Naomi to Paige. I feel like he's overcompensating because he knows that Paige is uncomfortable with it. So he like fabricates the stories to make him look good and Naomi seem crazy. So of course, Paige is going to feel the way that she's feeling and interpret things the way that she's interpreting it. Do I think she was looking for a fight at the Thanksgiving thing? Yes, I do, which I didn't agree with. I didn't like what I saw. But like, I also don't blame her for feeling the way she did if my boyfriend was telling me what Craig was telling her.
Yeah, I agree. Like the way that was framed was definitely not how it actually came across. And so then they have a sit down, like Paige and Naomi, and it like is resolved in 2 seconds, which I just, maybe they're not showing us all, but I don't know. Paige obviously was like coming in hot. Like she had like a bitchy ass look on her face the entire time. And Naomi was like saying, like, it seems like you have a problem with me. Like, what is your problem with me? And she's like, well, do you still have feelings for Craig? And she's like, no, absolutely not. I do not. And she's like, well, you said this insinuating that he's having feelings. And she's like, no, that was more intended for like you. Like, I wanted to tell him, like, look, if it makes Paige uncomfortable, I won't be around. Like, because I want you to have a healthy relationship. And she was basically saying, like, I'm not implying that he has feelings for me. I just like wanted to make sure you were comfortable. And Paige was like, okay, well, that makes sense. She just said that to me. And then they quashed it and immediately moved on.
Yeah, she's like, well, look, I like you. I think you're funny. I think you have great style and I want to borrow your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay.
After saying earlier in the night, she's like, we won't be best friends and not like we'll be exchanging clothes. And then she
– Yeah, exactly.
Didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was that the girls were taking pictures with napkins on their head like pilgrims, and Craig – threw a fit and was saying that they were being culturally appropriating.
Yeah, I don't get that.
See, I was confused. I'm like, are they? Because I'm like, well, if you dress as Halloween as like
culturally appropriating what?
The pilgrim lifestyle. Like, say for example, like, you know, what are they called? Like the very Hasidic Jews. So okay, Hasidic Jews, they have a certain outfit where they're like wearing black. They have the long tendrils coming down from their ears. They think wear some sort of hat. If someone showed up at Halloween as a Hasidic Jew, they are in very deep doo-doo. Like that is, in my mind, definitely. For sure. So like, why is it any different with pilgrims?
Okay, but
is it because it's historical?
All races pilgrims?
So yeah, maybe I'm thinking of not pilgrims, but what are the people that still live off the land?
Ooh, I don't know.
Like, what are they called? Amish. I think that's where Amish. I'm getting confused. I think
– Yeah, no, it's not that.
I think Craig was thinking Amish, and they're thinking history of, like, the people that first came to these lands.
Right.
Anyways, he threw
I think
bit.
You're reaching. But
I think he just hates Naomi. And Naomi nailed it on the head. She's like, he's not mad at the napkin on my head. He just hates me and is like, will call out anything he says that I'm doing.
I do think that Naomi knows him at his core better than everyone else because she's seen his horrible, ugly side.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they shouldn't be together. That's yeah. for sure.
No, I agree.
There was one thing that I wanted to point out because it really, really bothered me was when Naomi asked Paige to go for a chat and they go outside and Craig starts freaking out and he goes, my girlfriend is going out with my crazy ex. And Leva comes to Naomi's defense and is like, Craig, don't call her crazy. And Craig is like, stay out of my business.
Yeah. He is just, you're right, totally overcompensating for his lingering feelings and the fact that he hooked up with her while he was with Paige. And now he's trying to like course correct and just like consistently put her down. Like, what is crazy
about Naomi?
She's really like very chill when she's talking to people. And she approached an entire conversation with Paige like very calmly.
Yeah, it just goes back to the whole when a guy says my ex-girlfriend is crazy, ask what drove
them crazy. That way.
Mm-hmm. That's it for TV recaps.
Yep, another long epi this epi, but we'll be back next week with maybe two episodes of The Bachelorette. I swear that it's on tonight.
And more Aspen drama, which I'm looking forward to.
Same. Okay, well, that wraps up another episode of Pop Therapy. So we'll see y'all next week.
Toodles.